I appreciate very much the opportunity that you've given me again to be here with you at Sandy Branch. I freely confess to you, it's one of my favorite places to go. And I trust that as my good friend, Brother Abernathy, has prayed such a wonderful prayer and a beautiful introduction by Brother Josh, that you will continue to pray for me as I stand before you tonight. I wish I could tell you that I would be able to preach to you in a way that would be understandable to you and glorifying to God and upbuilding to the church here at Sandy Branch. But that remains yet to be seen, and I hope that you will pray to that end this evening. Read to you tonight from the book of Philippians, Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. In this particular passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul has given us, if you will, his pedigree. And as he did that, he went through a particular and blessed first two chapters and established the faithfulness of Christ in the work of salvation. And don't get it in your mind that salvation is not a work, because it is, yeah. But it's God's work.
Amen.
He said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now that's a good way to start.
Yeah.
And he addresses himself and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi. Now, if I understand anything about the history of the Philippian church, it had its nucleus in the baptism of the Philippian jailer and his family while Paul and Silas were in prison, and that great miracle came. And not the roof, not the sides, not the walls, but the foundations of the prison were shaken. And they were able to leave, but they didn't.
Yeah.
They stayed. And then dealt with the Philippian jailer. And I'll not belabor you with that point, but all I'm saying is, as a result of the obedience of that Philippian jailer, the church at Philippi began and grew into the church that it was that Paul commended so many times. You'll read through the book of fill with Philippians, you will find that Paul gave admonitions to this church that they followed, that they sent to his necessity time and time again when other churches failed. And he commended the church at Philippi more than any other church that you'll find in the New Testament. And then he comes to chapter 2 and he establishes the eternal sonship of Jesus Christ. We, as Primitive Baptists and as all Christian believers, for lack of a better term, believe in the eternal sonship of Christ. We believe in the impeccability of Christ, that he was eternally one with the Father, that at the appointed time, at the appointed place, in the appointed way, he made a real physical, historical appearance as the man, Christ Jesus.
Right.
And being found, he says, in fashion as a man, verse 8 in chapter 2, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And I've got to say that in connection with what I have to preach tonight. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Now, as Paul began to develop that particular passage of Scripture, he set the stage for the last part of the book that he was about to admonish the Philippian brethren. And he said, finally, my brethren, finally. You know what that means, or usually what it means. I was preaching a funeral in Fort Payne yesterday, and there's a fellow went before me, and he said, finally, I'm going to say this. In about 15 minutes, he said, finally, I'm going to say this. And finally, he said, I am. And which was a blessing, if you don't know the truth. But finally, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I want to tell you something today, brethren, and I see Brother Farrell back there, and I think all of you brethren would agree with me, and I've been preaching for nearly 60 years, but I want to tell you that even our people have, I'm afraid, drifted from the honor that we once gave to God and his Son.
Amen.
I don't think we take it as dedicatedly as we used to. You don't find that much anymore. But I am saying to you today that we are required by God's Word, we are required by God's Word to rejoice always. Now, that's another Bible term. Rejoice always, and again I say rejoice.
Yeah.
Rejoice. You'll go back to the psalmist David. He speaks back there, and I'll just get one verse. Rejoice ye in him who hath created all things and holds the wind in his fist. I like that. Holds the wind in his fist. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. I rejoice in the Lord today because I believe that the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God.
Amen.
That's Bible. That's no argument to be made. No questions to be asked. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation.
Right.
And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. How was he made in the likeness of men? Well, this way. And I tell you, part of this is above my pay grade. I'm willing to admit I don't know all about it. Elder Sylvester Hassel said one time, we need to let what we don't know about alone. Well, I'll agree with him to a point, but I like to discuss those things.
Right.
I think there's some things that we don't know about, and yet they are plain enough that we can deduce the truth from them.
Right.
Now, the Bible says here, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, you don't have to be a scientist to figure that out. Who being in the form of God, that's what he was, thought it not robbery, that is that Jesus did not steal glory from God.
Amen.
Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. He proved that, didn't he? When he washed his disciples' feet in that upper room. They didn't understand it then. Peter said, Lord, why not my head, my hands, and everything else? And the Lord said, Peter, what I do now, you don't understand. But you'll know hereafter.
Right.
There's some things that could not be understood until Jesus was raised from the dead. There's some things that could not be understood until the gospel came in its full revelation. And here was one of them. He took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men and being found in fashion as a man. I want to tell you today, Jesus died like any other man dies.
Yeah.
Jesus died a heinous death at the cross, but I want to tell you right now, he died like a man.
Yeah.
He suffered like a man. And yet thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, that's as plain as I can put it. I don't know how to dress it up any more than it is. But I'm telling you today that don't let anybody ever stand up here and tell you that Jesus was half man and half God, because that's not so.
That's right.
But he was all man and all God.
Amen.
One never did anything without the full and complete cooperation of the other two, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. They're both living, and they are all living, vital personality. The Holy Spirit is called a He.
Right.
Jesus Christ was called a He.
Yeah.
Jesus, God Almighty, is called our Father.
Right.
He is a living, vital personality.
Amen.
God manifest in the flesh. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 says this, but God, who at sundry times and different ways and different manners, sundry times. The Bible says that God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, different times and different ways, spake in times past to the fathers.
Right.
That's how they spoke to them, by the prophets. Mm-hmm. Hath in these last days. Now he's not talking about the last days before Jesus comes. He's talking about the last days of the Mosaic economy. The last days of Moses' law. And I'm going to get to that in just a minute. But God, who at different times and different ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days, in the plural, in the last days, spoken unto us, the apostles, by his Son.
Yeah.
We saw him. We handled him.
That's right.
We looked at him.
Yeah.
We heard him preach. We were there when he ascended up into heaven. But when he by himself had purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels.
Amen.
Under which of the angels did he ever say, come sit here at my right hand? Not a one. You search if you will, you won't find it. But I'll tell you, that's what he said to his only begotten son.
Amen. That's right.
Sit here on my right hand till I make thine enemies my footstool. I affirm to you today, my friend, that there's a man in heaven right today that hears your prayers.
Amen.
Not because of what you are, but because of who he is.
Amen.
That's the reason we can pray. And God's not hearing us on account of us. He's hearing us on the account of his son. You see, our mediator. The one and only mediator. Now, I'll give you that. Now, I'm going to start my sermon, all right? Finally, my brethren. Finally, I've got to. And I promise you, I'm not going to keep you till maybe 9:30 somewhere along the way. Y'all got that? Pray over it. It'll come to you in a minute. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me, is not grievous. You know, Brother Farrell, I used to worry about preaching the same thing over again. Now, y'all ever have that problem? I do. I've worried about it a long time. I mean, I thought about it. I mean, these people hear me preach all the time, and I want to preach something different. They need to hear something different. Now, I'm going to tell you, you can preach the truth in a lot of ways. Amen?
Yeah.
And I hate to say it, but I'm in the beef business, but I like chicken. Amen? Good as I like beef, do you know what? I like chicken better, and you can fix chicken a lot of ways, can't you? You can fry it, you can broast it, you can barbecue it, you can make chicken salad, chicken casserole. It's all the same. It's all the same chicken, but I want to tell you right now, it's presented in a different way. The truth of the gospel, my friends, is the truth anywhere you start. But we present it oftentimes in a different way.
Right.
We present it in a different way. Now, Paul said, this is not grievous or laborious to me. But he said, for you, it's safe.
Uh-huh.
I like that.
Yeah. Right.
And that's the reason, my friend, today, that we need never to stray too far from the fundamentals of the faith.
Amen.
Fundamentals of the faith. That things, all of us have ideas, all of us have things that we may call controverted points, and there always have been among our people. But I want to tell you right now that the fundamentals of the faith cannot be compromised.
Amen.
We can compromise on a lot of things because of tradition. Because of we do one way here in Wichita County, Tennessee, and another way in DeKalb County, Alabama. I want to tell you right now, a tradition goes a long way with our people, but I'll tell you this, that the fundamentals of the faith must be adhered to.
Amen.
Those things that we fundamentally believe, there can be no compromise. And that's the reason Paul says, this is safe for you. It's not laborious for me, but it's safe for you. Now, listen to what he said. Beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the confusion. Brother, listen, when he says beware of dogs, he's not talking about German shepherds and cocker spaniels. He's not talking about chihuahuas or beagles. He's not talking about that. But what he is talking about is those dogs in that day, and they're still over there today. They were wild dogs. They would come at night. They would scatter the sheep. They would tear and rend their flesh. They would kill them if they got opportunity to do that. That's the reason the shepherd had to be there day and night.
Yeah.
And I affirm to you today, there's still men like that today. This is used as a metaphor right here, a descriptive term.
That's right.
They would be happy to rend the flock. They would be happy to see it torn asunder. They would be happy to see it cease. Paul says, beware of them. Beware. Beware of evil workers. Beware of them. That is, be on your guard. Look further than the end of your nose right here. Always be vigilant in a way that will honor God and cause His people to rejoice in those things that they need to rejoice in. Now, I want to tell you, Brother Abernathy and Brother Josh, Brother Farrell and you others back there that labor in the vineyard, I want to tell you that, and I've probably been preaching longer than all of you, but I'm telling you this today, that we need to beware today.
Amen.
We need to beware because there are elements in this world that would strip everything that we have. Do you know what Ezekiel said one time? I believe in y'all, correct me if I'm wrong. I hadn't thought about it in a long time. But he said to the children of Israel, show the house to the house.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Show the house to the house. I'll tell you right now, what he was showing us in prophecy was the church to God's people under the old covenant. There's something better than that. And that's what he's talking about now. Show the house to the house. I'll tell you, I'll just say this, brother, when he said show the house to the house, what I'm saying to you is we don't need no new furniture in our house, do we?
Right.
We need no new furniture. Everything we got's fine. It's very simple. But there's a fellow, some folks love antiques, some of y'all may, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. I went and stayed with some folks, and I wish I'd kept record of everybody I've stayed with. But I want to tell you that all they had to sit on was antiques. And I'm going to tell you something. It wasn't comfortable. The things don't sit good, amen? No, they don't. I mean, I got a chair my wife wants me to throw away, but it sags where I sag. I'm going to keep it. I don't want to throw it away. I like it. It works good for me. But now this antique stuff, I mean, y'all keep it if you want. Everything I got in my house antique. You understand what I'm saying? I tell you, it don't sit good. You can't get fixed in it. It's hard. It's wood, and I could go on with that description, but that's not necessary. But all I'm saying to you is, my friend, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, fundamentally and practically, we don't need any new furniture.
Right.
Amen.
Now notice the terminology he uses. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. That simply means there were religious minded people in that day that promoted the doctrine of physical circumcision. And they gave the church trouble.
Yeah.
You know, they tried to bring that to the church, and they had to have a big council about it in Acts chapter 15. If you'll go back and read it all, it was a problem throughout all the early days of the church, the concision. They would try bring what Moses' law said to the New Testament church.
Right.
And Paul had to deal with that wherever he went. Beware the concision. Now, I want you to listen to what he said. Now, I'm not left my subject. For we are the circumcision. We are the Jew. That's what he was. What better one could there have been chosen to bring to light the New Testament gospel, the one who had been converted from the rituals of all the law service?
Right.
How much better that this gospel message was Paul never forgot where he came from.
Right.
You know, people who are successful oftentimes forget where they come from. You know, I know some folks that were raised poor. I'm talking about P-O-O-O-R. Poor. And, you know, and now they're successful, got good jobs, retired, and they've done well, and I'm glad for them. God bless them. But they seem to have lost sight of where that they have come from. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. That's dangerous ground.
Yeah.
That's dangerous ground. But Paul never forgot that. Listen to this example. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. Now, God judged the nation of Israel guilty. But I want to tell you that there were some that did receive him for who he was.
Amen. That's right.
Now read St. John chapter 1. He came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many as did receive. You see, there were some that did receive him, but he came to his own as a nation.
Yeah.
As a nation, he came to his own, and his own received him not. That nation didn't receive him.
That's right.
But he said there were some that did. Mm-hmm. And when he began to talk there, he said he came to his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, gave he to them power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. We don't stop right there.
Right.
Who were born.
Right.
Not going to be born, but who were born. Not of the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, but of God.
Amen.
You see? So these that had the power to become the sons of God, and the power to believe, I want to tell you, they were born of God before they believed. They were born of God before they received. Him. And that is the actual example that we still have today.
Amen.
Still have today. He said, though I have confidence in the flesh, we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And though I might also have confidence in the flesh, and he could, if he's trying to meet the standard of the law, there wasn't a better one you could find. He said, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he would trust in the flesh, he said, I have it more than he does.
Wow.
Listen to that. He said, if any man could trust and have confidence in the flesh by meeting the standard of the law and its requirements, I could. I could do it. But he didn't stop there. Now listen, he go back to where he come from. He says this, I was circumcised on the eighth day. That this is why he could trust. So if any man could trust in the flesh, I could. Why? I was circumcised on the eighth day. Of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. That was Jacob's baby boy.
Yeah.
Jacob had two sons by his beloved Rachel. Mm-hmm. One of them was Joseph, and the other one was Benjamin.
And
let me tell you this. The Bible says here, I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I can go right back to Father Abraham. I can trace my roots right back there. He said, my pedigree is flawless.
Right. Yeah.
Flawless. Listen to it. Tribe of Benjamin, the Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, I'm blameless.
Wow.
Get that. What a statement.
Yeah.
But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ.
Uh-huh.
Brothers and sisters, I tell you right now, what an example that this man set.
Yeah.
He knew where he came from. He could have been anything that he wanted to be as far as the flesh was concerned. He had the opportunity to do it. He had the connections to do it. And I'm going to tell you, they tried their best to armor him with the might and the authority to put down the truth of the gospel that God Almighty says is better than all the offerings that the law ever thought about.
Yeah.
What were those offerings? Well, pigeons and doves and goats and the ashes of a heifer. I mean, there were those offerings. But they were weak, weren't they?
Yeah.
They were weak. They were not only weak through the flesh, but they're weak through the flesh, all right. But they were weak through the flesh of animals.
Yeah.
They were weak through your flesh. You couldn't meet what the law demanded.
No.
It demanded perfection. You couldn't meet that. Judged by the standard of the law. Come to the bar of justice. Paul said, if any man could live up to it, I could. I want to tell you something, my friend. Paul came to the great realization that Christ was who he said he was.
Yeah.
Paul came to that great realization that this was him that spoke literally to me on the road to Damascus. The others saw the light indeed, but heard not the voice that spake unto me.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen to him. He said, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Let me tell you something, old people and young people too tonight. The closer I get to the end of the way, and I know that's not a great big window there for any of us as far as time's concerned. But I want you to understand this. The things that used to be so important to me have somehow paled to the background.
Right.
They just don't hold their worth. They just don't hold their value anymore. You know, I could sit down and write you a book about the great plans I had and everything that I had planned out and everything that I was going to do and everything that I was going to try to do with everybody that I knew and with everybody that I did. And let me tell you something right now. I did do some of them to some degree, but I'm going to tell you, with most of them, I fell flat on my face. And don't you think today, and don't have too much confidence in your flesh, don't have too much confidence in the so-called social security.
Right.
Because I'm going to tell you, that's liable to let you down one of these days. But I'll tell you something today, when God said that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus said that very same thing. I'm God and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. I affirm to you today that the promises of God made in Jesus Christ cannot be faltering in any degree, because the one who promised those very things, I said, my son has made an offering far better than what the bulls and the goats were.
Amen.
And because there it was a perfect offering, I've accepted it fully, and never another sacrifice has to be made.
Amen.
Once and for all, he hath perfected them that are sanctified.
Amen.
Hebrews 10 and 14. Now he says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Listen now, and give me 9 minutes. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency. Now I count the rest of this as nothing. I'm counting this as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Get this. You think you suffered. I look back at Job sometimes, and Job suffered the loss of everything he had. Didn't get any explanation why, didn't get any reason why, but he lost everything he had. Lost his property, lost his children, everything you can think about. He lost it all. And Satan himself worked in the closest thing that Job had to him, and that was his wife.
Right.
She saw all this devastation, children gone, livestock gone, property gone, houses burned. You know what she said? Curse God and die. Get out of this mess. Not worth it. You know? Now I'm going to retire after 41 years in the courthouse in November of this year. Y'all going to give me a big hand? Amen. I'm telling you, I'm retiring in November. They can have it. I wish this today. I'm not wishing my life away, but I'm wishing that I'd done some things different, all right? But what I am saying to you, my friends, is this, that in every degree that I've pursued, somewhere along the way, I have failed.
Yeah.
I've failed because I've dealt with people who were unfaithful. Tell you one thing, do another. I mean, you just have that because you're dealing with people. Amen. You have that because you're dealing with people. Anybody don't deal with people don't understand that, but all of you deal with people in some kind of way, and you'll find out that pretty quick if you don't know it by now. Paul says this. He said, "Yea, doubtless I count the loss of all things." The loss of all things. Man told me one day, he said, came in my office and sat down. He said, "Brother Ricky, I'm going to commit suicide." And I, just out of the blue sky, just like that, I said, "What?" He said, "I'm going to commit suicide." I said, "What in the world is wrong with you?" And he was one of the largest farmers we had in our county. And this was back in the 80s sometime. He said, "I've lost everything that I have." He said, "I've worked myself and my family through all the ways I know to handle it, and I can't handle it." He said, "There's only one way out." And he said, "I'm going to take my life." But he was asking me to preach his funeral. I said, "I'm going to tell you something. Suicide's not the honorable way to die."
No.
Now, I know that doesn't change anything. But that's not the honorable way to die. I mean, I've had that in my own family. It's not the honorable thing to do. But I want to tell you something, my friend. I don't care what it is, suicide or anything else. Somebody said, "Can a suicide live in heaven?" Sure.
Right.
Give me an example. Samson.
Yeah.
Committed suicide, did God's will in the time of it. And the Bible said in Hebrews 11:35, the world wasn't worthy of it.
Right.
You tell me, I'm telling you he's in heaven right now. He's in heaven right now. But he missed out on some things.
Yeah.
He missed out on some things. Samson was an all-American boy. You know, I mean, he was the life of the party wherever he went. You know, to young girls, if there's any here and there, he was drop-dead good-looking. He really was. But he couldn't handle his own animalistic nature.
Right.
He couldn't handle it. And that's the truth. And Paul himself, left to himself, couldn't have handled what he had learned at the hands of men. But he comes to us here and said, "I saw the fallacy of what I was taught."
Yeah.
I saw the fallacy of what. You know, it's hard to unteach somebody. I've said that everywhere I go. It's hard to unteach somebody. But Paul had to come to the conclusion that what I've been taught has been wrong.
Yeah.
It's been wrong. Listen now to what he says. And I am finally going to quit in here in just a second. He says, "Doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ."
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something today. I'm going to say something that sounds a little Arminianish. Do you know what we as God's children need to do today? Take hold of Him.
Amen.
Take hold of it. You want me to back it up? You know what Paul said? Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. And I tell you right now, there's
some winning elements in that.
Yes, sir.
It's easy to preach and hard to live, but there's some winning elements in that. When we draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to us.
That's right.
Now Paul comes along and he says this, I count them but dung that I may win Christ. I don't have time to elaborate on all that. But listen what else he says. And be found in Him. I like that. Be found in Him. If you go back and you read the parable of the vine and the branches, in John chapter 15, you'll find out that we're in Him from a covenant standpoint of election. We're in Him from a regenerated standpoint of the work of regeneration. All of God's children are in Him in that regard. But I want to tell you, all of them are not abiding in the vine, are they?
Right.
All of them are not abiding in the vine.
Amen.
And that's what He's teaching us here. Except a man abide in Me and I in him, he's not going to bear fruit. Hold to Him that I may win Christ. I affirm to you that Paul won Christ. He didn't get to go to heaven because of that.
Amen.
But I'll tell you what he did do. He could say, I've suffered the loss of all things and counted all but dung that I may win Him. I win Christ and rejoice in Him who has died for me. What a wonderful statement he says. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, and that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. I tell you today, my friends, that the Lord Jesus Christ makes us in a wonderful way of some degree, and I don't know just a guy is that's above my pay grade, but I tell you this today, that God molds us and makes us and shapes us as a potter's wheel moves. His hand shapes us and molds us into a vessel that is fit for the Master's use.
Amen.
That's what He does for every child of God. And I tell you, I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it. I really do. Now, if you'll go back and look, you'll find that the potter, when he got through with that clay, it went through a process. It went through a curing process. Not only that, when it got cured and dried, they put it in a kiln. And that was to bake it. And then the finished vessel would come out. But there would be times that the vessel would crack. Times that the vessel would crack. You know what? They had to stamp. This was law. They had to stamp it. Dokima. Dokima. That vessel was cracked. Now, brethren, I want to tell you something today. You and I are earthen vessels. And I'm going to tell you something. We're cracked. You hear me? We cracked. Yes, sir. We've got fallacies. We've got failings. But I count all of that but dung.
Yeah.
I cast it all away. I cast my feelings away. My flesh away. I cast it all away for the excellency of the knowledge of my blessed Lord.
Amen.
Today, who gives me hope and strength in this world that is no friend to grace. I hope that you've understood some of the things that I've tried to bring to you tonight. I couldn't get it all said. And I tell you, if I stay through next week, I couldn't get it all said. It's kind of like it was when they got through feeding the 5,000. They had more left over than they hadn't started. And that's kind of the way we are tonight. We can preach a lifetime and still have more left over than we had when we started. And thank God it's that way. That's the reason it's called the bread of life. Thank you, and may God bless you, Brother Josh.